Was here last weekend for Rush, and so that was crazy, but it's good to be back here in Henderson, a place that I called home for, I guess, about 3.5 years, and I've got all kinds of stories. I don't know how many of them you want to hear, but we got a lot to cover this morning, so I won't spend too much time. It is good to be at the Henderson Church of Christ. This place looks so different. Man, it looks so different since last time when I was in college, and the auditorium is beautiful. The building is completely different. It looks great. It's so good to see so many of my friends around here. I've got family here. Excited to see my Aunt Missy. I don't know. Are you here, Aunt Missy? I haven't seen you yet. I want to be sure to call her out on the day that she's not here. So that's great. I'll try to give her a hard time about that later. But anyway, I'm going to start this way this morning. I met him just a second ago. Mac, right? Mac Shelton. Can you come up for a second? You're like, you don't have any idea. We just met, right? I just shook your hand. I don't know you. But hi, I'm Philip. Good to see you. You probably forgot my name. So good to see you again, Mac. How old are you, Mac? 15. So are you driving yet? Some? Permit a little bit? Okay. I wanted to do something for you today, Mac. I want to give you my car. Would that be okay? Here, these are the keys to my car. I have a feeling, you know, 15 years old, getting ready to drive, you're probably pretty excited about it. But just a few things that I was thinking about as I was handing you my keys. I'm probably going to need it today, right? I mean, because I got to drive back home. So today's maybe not the best day for me to give you my car, but I still want to try to do that. So you think I can drive it back to Mount Juliet and then you can have it after that? Would that be okay? Okay. You hold on to the keys. It's fine. All right, so I'm going to need to drive it back, and then tomorrow, actually, you know what, tomorrow, Monday, I've got to meet my brother. We're working on an escape game, like, really, seriously, and so you can hold on to him. I'm probably going to need it tomorrow, but after that, I could just drive it back. Maybe we can meet up or something. Your parents can drive you. Tuesday, I have to pick the kids up from school, so Tuesday's probably not good. Wednesday, I have class. Thursday, I have hot yoga. That's probably a lovely image for you guys. Friday's the weekend. I'm usually pretty busy. Saturdays are usually pretty busy. And then Sunday, I have to be back in church. But about maybe Saturday from like 2 a.m., to 6 a.m., I think you could drive the car. I'm going to need those back, though, so thank you anyway. Thank you, Mac. We sort of hate limitations, don't we? It's kind of a love-hate relationship because in some ways limits are good. I don't want my 4-year-old driving around a car. In some ways, limits are good. In other ways, not so much. Unlimited data. Sign me up. Unlimited breadsticks. Let's go to Fazoli's. Unlimited all-you-can-eat buffet. Let's do it. Sunday afternoon. Unlimited calling. Of course, who does that anymore? Unlimited texting. Unlimited downloads. Unlimited cash back. Sign me up. Unlimited donuts. Did you know this? If you go to Krispy Kreme right now and spend $10, you have unlimited Krispy Kreme all day long. Totally made that up, but wouldn't that be awesome? Man, we love unlimited, right? You guys got really excited for a second. You're like, that's probably a good investment of $10. We love unlimited. We love unlimited stuff, but as much as we love unlimited stuff, we've perfected the art of limiting ourselves. We've gotten really good at saying no. We've gotten really good at giving up. We quit. We get tired. We sabotage things. We get bent out of shape. We make excuses. We get lazy. We hold back. We get scared. And we limit ourselves. And of course, there's times when we need to say no. But this morning, I'm not talking to you really about your time management skills or the power of no. Instead, this morning, I want you to consider something. Do you limit yourself when it comes to your relationship with God? Do you limit yourself when it comes to your relationship with God? Is there a part of you that wants to hold back? You see, we serve an awesome, limitless God. A God with no limits. A God who can do all things. A God who invented nature and everything we see. And then He broke the rules of nature to perform miracles in Scripture. Instead of allowing that limitless God to take the wheel, we constantly tap the brakes. And instead of drinking deeply from the well, from the living water, we put just enough to fit in a communion cup and take it one time a week. And instead of waking up each day and saying to God, Lord, how do you want to use me today? We don't pray that prayer because we're afraid of the way He might answer it. Instead of doing that thing that God's put into our hearts, we put it off. We ignore it. We procrastinate. We limit ourselves. Why? Why do we limit ourselves when it comes to our limitless God? Oh, but you and I are not the only ones who have this issue. We're not the only ones who had this problem. In fact, we read about a guy named Moses in Exodus chapter 3 who tried to limit his availability when it came to God's plans for his life. Read with me. This is from Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And behold, now the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Wow. This is pretty incredible because there's been a lot of silence from this God at this time. It's been a while since anyone's heard His voice, and so you can imagine Moses' surprise, and you can imagine maybe even his apprehension of who exactly am I speaking to, and how can I be so sure, and maybe this is not what I want it to be. And so here's God, though, and he's finally going to act, and He's seen the affliction of His people, and isn't that so awesome that God sees the affliction of His people, by the way. And he steps in and he tells Moses, I'm going to deliver these people. This is going to be awesome. And then you get to verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'm going to deliver my people out of Egypt. And you can imagine Moses just like wanting to jump up and go, yes, yes, Lord. And I know just the man to do it. Yes, Lord, you know, just the man to do it. It's you, Moses. Yep, it's me. It's me. I don't think you time out. And over the next few verses, we're going to get to see Moses try to put limits on God's plan. and try to maybe stiff-arm him a little bit. And Moses is going to point some things out to God because clearly the limitless God of the universe hasn't considered the limitations of his plan, right? I want to share with you four ways this morning in which I think we limit ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God and it comes to following his will for our lives. And they all come from this passage here in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. The first thing Moses says is, who am I? Who am I? Now, let's analyze that remark a little bit. The limitless God of the universe tells Moses what he's going to do and how God is going to use him. And Moses throws on the brakes and he says, whoa, who am I? Who am I to go before the king of the world? Who am I to go before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh? I'm a nobody. I'm going to lead your people out of Egypt. Moses was quick to limit himself when it came to God's plan. And number one, just like Moses, I think sometimes we limit ourselves because we're focused on who we are instead of who he is. We're focused on who we are instead of who he is. And look what God says in response to Moses' suggestions here in verse 12. Well, verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Maybe Moses wanted something more immediate than that. God says, okay, you want me to prove it to you? You're going to have to wait a while. By the way, does God tell us the same thing? Are there times where maybe we wish we had an immediate answer and God would say, wait a while and you'll see? Moses, it's not that you're going all alone and by yourself. I'm not sending you here by yourself. You're missing something. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. I will be with you. I've got you. Oh, I could never be a Christian. I just can't do things like he can. I can't do things like she can. I can't serve God the way that she does. I can't speak like that guy does. I don't have the talent of this person. I can't lead Bible studies. I can't lead people to the Lord like this guy over here. I think God would say, quit worrying about things like that. Quit worrying about those things. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about the one that's working within you. You and I need to understand that the potential within us is as limitless as the one within us. The excuse Moses gives here is very similar to the one he gives in chapter 4, verse 10. Moses is focused more on what he can't do instead of what God can do. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, we read this. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I guess Moses is running out of excuses, so he goes back to some that he used at the beginning. He says, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken. Nothing miraculous here has happened. I'm not speaking better than I was before. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. But the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. If we're not careful, we limit ourselves to God's plans because we're focused on who we are. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to skip ahead to chapter 4 to see the next limitation that Moses maybe puts upon himself in this equation. Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Number two, I think we limit ourselves because of what others might say or do or think. I think sometimes we put on the brakes because of what other people might say or do or think. I think sometimes we keep Christ at arm's length because we're afraid of what other people might do. God, I can't do this. I can't act like this at work. I can't act like that at the parties. I can't act like that at school. I can't act like this around my friends. I can't say that. I can't follow you if that's what it's going to cost me. Besides, what will my friends think? What if they laugh? What if they don't want to hang out with me anymore? What if they treat me differently? What if they don't see it the way that I see it? What if they don't believe what I believe? What if they see the issue differently? What if they don't listen to me? The answer God gives to Moses on this one is miraculous. He has him take his staff and throw it on the ground. It becomes a serpent. And then he has him put his hand inside of his cloak. And all of a sudden he has leprosy. And then he does it again and the leprosy's gone. And whether or not people believe what you believe is sort of irrelevant when it comes to following God. Isn't it? Whether or not people agree with you is sort of irrelevant. It's very irrelevant when it comes to following God. Let them say what they will. Let them think what they think. I must be willing to follow through, though none go with me. Number three, I think we limit ourselves spiritually because we'd rather someone else do what God has designed for me to do. I think we limit ourselves, we'd rather pass the buck, so to speak. Exodus 4, verse 13. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Out of excuses, please, just somebody else go. Verse 14. How's God feel about it? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and instead of striking him dead and saying, "Hey, that's a great point, I'm going to take someone else," he says, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well." How, man, he must have been a bad speaker, right? If God's like, "You know what, you're right, you're not a very good speaker. Let's send your brother. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be your mouth. And with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." The staff of Moses really becomes a really cool, iconic thing in the life of Moses. That one that he took and it became a staff, became a serpent. You see him do a lot of amazing things with that very same staff. And it really is amazing to study that. When it comes to the things of God, how involved are you in his work? When it comes to the things of God, how involved are you in kingdom work? College students, do you coast through college? Or do you find a place to serve in the body? I think sometimes we get scared, speaking as a college student, speaking as a minister, speaking as someone who has grown up in the church. I think sometimes we get scared that our kids are going to go to college and just have this idea like, oh, if they can just hold on to their faith, if they can just hold on to it, then, you know, maybe if they just kind of keep going to church one time a week, And if they do that all through college, then we've succeeded. I don't know that that's the way God measures success. Instead of going to college to survive with your faith, man, it ought to be a time where we thrive. It ought to be a time where you continue to grow, just like when you're in the youth group. You continue to grow. And then into adulthood, you continue to grow. It never stops. Well, those people at church, they do that, but it's not really for me. It's a church thing, and it's for church people. But those people at the church, they do some good things sometimes. Well, I guess I could fill in the blank, but there's plenty of other people that could do that. And so I don't really need to be there. They don't really need me. I'm not really needed, so I'm just going to stay out of it. Men, How many of you could be deacons? How many of you could be elders in the church? If only you would not limit yourself. Brothers and sisters, how much more work could be done if we committed ourselves to doing what God has put in our hearts? Do you have a crazy idea on how to serve God? You know that God loves crazy ideas? And sometimes His ideas are even crazier. And they always work. God's given you a gift. What if instead of waiting around for someone else to do it, you just did it? What if you just did what only you can do? Are you good with numbers? Serve God. Do you like to make people laugh? Serve God. Are you thoughtful? Find a way to serve God. Are you a writer? Are you an artist? Are you a musician? Are you a singer? Are you good with computers? Can you speak Spanish? Find a way to serve God. Don't limit your involvement in God's will or in God's ways or in God's work just because it's inconvenient or it's uncomfortable for you or you think someone else can do it. All right, this is kind of the part of the lesson where I like to ask a question and just kind of be real. Like, so what? So what? You've given me some time this morning, and I appreciate that. But so what? You've heard a lot of lessons. Why does this one matter? Why is this one different? I thought a lot about that. What's the point? What should be different about your life after hearing this lesson this morning? There's a couple of life lessons for you as we close that I want to share. Number one, I need to stop limiting myself. I need to stop limiting myself. God is not content with my excuses. Every time that Moses gave God a limit, and I guess in his mind it was a good excuse, and every time that he gave God a limit or a reason, God shot it down. Let me ask you, that excuse that you've been holding on to for so long as to why you won't follow Him more wholeheartedly, that excuse as to why you've limited yourself, why you've maybe put off the decision to become a Christian, whatever that excuse is, what would God say back to it? If He could speak to you like He spoke to Moses, what would His reply be? Would that excuse hold up? Or is it really just excuse? Number two, I need to participate in God's will for my life. God's given us a gospel greater than the one He gave to Moses. Moses was able to deliver God's people from slavery, but we are to help deliver those who are slaves to sin. It's a gospel without limits, and we must never hold it back. It's beautiful. It's time to stop making excuses and stop playing games. Stop running from responsibility when it comes to the things of God. Number three, what would God do for you today? I'm sorry. What would you do for God today if you weren't holding back anything from Him? What would you do for God today if you weren't holding anything back from Him? Is there an area of your life that you need to surrender to God? Who does God use? Who does God use? Maybe not always the people that we think or that we would use. God uses willing, faithful servants. Willing, faithful servants. In the case of Moses, he wasn't even willing at first. But he does. He uses willing, faithful servants. So three questions as we close this morning. Number one, are you willing? Number two, are you faithful? Number three, are you His servant? Are you willing? Are you willing to follow Him today? Are you willing to put your excuses aside and quit holding back and quit putting limitations on a limitless God? Number two, are you faithful? If you've been unfaithful, there's great news. He's willing and He's faithful to take you back and forgive you of your sins? And lastly, are you His servant? Or have you been serving yourself? He's a limitless God. Let's stop limiting our involvement with Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're sorry for the times where you've given us the keys and we've given you excuses as to why we won't let you take control. I pray you'd forgive us of the many times that we fall short. I pray you'd take us back. I pray, Lord, that we'll be willing and faithful and servants. Thank you for Moses. Thank you for allowing us to see the humanity in so many of the figures that we look up to in God's Word. And thank you for allowing us to see their flaws, because it really does make a guy like me feel better. It makes all of us feel better when we see that not a single one of your people is perfect, except for your Son. And thank you that we have His perfect blood to wash us of the times when we fall short. I pray that you purify us. Help us to make a difference in this world. We don't care about making money. We don't care about being in the news. What we care about, Lord, is making a difference in eternity. I just pray, Father, that you'd help us to do that. Help us to reach this community. Thank you for the church here in Henderson, the impact that it makes on so many. I pray you continue, Lord, to bless this place and this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.